Blue Call Radio is powered by the Visual, Performing, and Media Arts Department at Middlesex County College in Edison, New Jersey, and we are excited to launch a new podcast series called Media Insider, where we give you an all-access pod pass to the world of music and multimedia. Here's your host, Professor D.
I'm joined by the BCR team, who are made up of students enrolled in the VPMA program. For our debut podcast, we decided to celebrate the Academy Awards with hits and flicks. This is where we celebrate hit songs from your favorite movies. Whether it's the student serving detention in The Breakfast Club, the aspiring wrestler in Vision Quest, or going back to the future in a DeLorean, they all have one thing in common. They all had a radio hit in the number one peak position on Billboard charts. We're going to give you the stories behind the songs, see what college students have to say about certain memorable movie moments, and the songs that immediately bring us back to a different time and place. So what is it about the movies? How do you find yourself watching your favorite flicks? Do you look at the screen or look into the screen? Why are you drawn into a different cinematic dimension? Sometimes we learn about our own culture and experience different cultures. Watching the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding may reduce your ethnocentrism.
All my life, I had a lump at the back of my neck right here. Always a lump. Then I start the menopause and the lump got bigger. From the hormones, it started to grow. So I go to the doctor and he did the biopsy. And inside the lump, he found teeth and a spinal column. Yes, inside the lump was my twin. Spani Kopita, you hungry?
Films also help us develop our media literacy skills as well as communication patterns of behavior. I teach an interpersonal communication course where movie clips are often used to illustrate specific relationship theories. For example, a scene in the movie Pretty Woman is used to exemplify self-fulfilling prophecy theory or the Pygmalion effect.
Give me a ballpark figure. How much?
6 full nights, days to 4,000.
6 nights at 300 is 1,800.
You want days too?
2,000.
3,000.
Done.
Another Julia Roberts film gives a voice to residents who are being poisoned by a deadly toxic waste illegally dumped by the Pacific Gas and Electric Company, which wound up contaminating their water supply. As a result, the residents suffered from various cancers and other illnesses. Julia Roberts portrays Erin Brockovich, who assists the legal team where she works and plays a pivotal role in winning one of the biggest class action lawsuits in American history against a multi-billion dollar corporation. Now, as a moviegoer, this is classified as an empowering hero film, leaving you with a feel-good feeling, advocating justice and rallying behind social responsibility. But from a theoretical perspective, where communication competence is one of the essential elements of the communication process, scholars may view the film a bit differently. Although Brockovich accomplishes winning the monetary settlement for the sick residents a whopping $333 million, her communication behavior strains several relationships during her crusade. She lacks support from her coworkers who periodically exclude her from office functions, like going to lunch, and sometimes engages in a screaming match, which is depicted in one specific scene. Not to mention, her office attire didn't exactly meet the company's dress code. Her abrasive language and volatile behavior has her boss on edge, who also excludes her from important meetings for fear her behavior will be less than professional. In her personal life, her children feel neglected, and the dating relationship with her next-door neighbor also deteriorates. So I asked the students, if Hollywood was going to make a movie based on your life, who would you want to portray you in your life story? Tristan is an electrical engineering major, but is also interested in a career in broadcast.
I would have to say Ryan Reynolds, because Ryan Reynolds kind of embodies me, and he's sarcastic like me, and, you know, he's almost as good looking as I am. I'm a little bit better, but, you know, I definitely have to say Ryan Reynolds.
Jennifer is majoring in communication studies and hopes to work in entertainment news.
I would have to say Angelina Jolie. Just because I prefer her acting, I think she's really natural when it comes to her movies. She could play almost any character.
Arielle aspires to work in promotions and marketing in addition to being on the air.
I think for me, it would be Jamie Alexander. I'm a big fan of her show Blind Spot. You know, her acting varies. She could go from very sweet to very intense, as you've seen in some of her movies and shows. She's very versatile, so I feel like she would be the one to play me.
Ilya is interested in various aspects of media with a specific focus in media production.
So I chose Jake Gyllenhaal. He starred in a 2014 movie called Nightcrawler, where he plays this kind of crazy paparazzi. And I'm not a crazy paparazzi, but I think the way his energy was and the way he was kind of presenting himself in the movie is very similar to the mannerisms that I have. I definitely think that Jake Gyllenhaal is a perfect fit for that role.
Aaron Brockovich remembers meeting Julia Roberts on the set.
I'll never forget the first day I met Julia Roberts, because I was on set that day to do my little waitress thing. So I was sitting in a chair just like this in front of a mirror, and they were doing my hair. And Julia wasn't really hanging out with me. And Steven Soderbergh, my understanding, had said, you know, I don't want you to just mimic her. And if you just hang out with her, you might mimic her. I want you to have a way that you can understand this person. And so I wasn't, you know how some people in movies, they hang out with each other and stuff like that. I wasn't given that opportunity. So she came in a door right over here to the right, and I saw her come in the mirror, and she walked right by me and stopped. And so she was here, and she looked down, and I looked up, and she goes, "Hi, I'm Julia Roberts." She extended her hand. I'm like shrinking violet. "Hi, I'm Erin Brockovich."
Julia Roberts wins the Best Actress Oscar at the 73rd Academy Awards for her portrayal, and Sheryl Crow's Every Day is a Winding Road peaks at number 11 on Billboard charts and becomes the anthem for the movie, playing during the closing credits and bonus footage.
Get a little bit closer.
The Bee Gees dominated the disco era with their hit Stayin' Alive in 1977 from the movie soundtrack Saturday Night Fever. When you think of Saturday Night Fever, you think of John Travolta's classic white suit and CPR, right? Coincidentally, the rhythm of the song matches almost perfectly with the recommended number of chest compressions during CPR, so paramedics are encouraged to think of the song while performing the procedure. Staying Alive peaked at number one on Billboard for 4 weeks in 1978. How Deep Is Your Love was number one for 3 weeks, and the biggest hit, Night Fever, took over the number one position for 8 weeks. The film gave us one of the best movie moments that Travolta apparently improvised.
We just washed the hair. You know, I worked on my hair a long time, and you hit it. He hits my hair.
1980 started strong with the movie American Gigolo starring Richard Gere. Stevie Nicks was asked to write and perform the theme song, but she turned it down. So another blondie stepped up, and Debbie Harry wrote the song Call Me in a few hours based on the film's opening scene of Richard Gere cruising around California. Call Me peaked at number one on Billboard in April of 1980 and stayed there for 6 weeks. That same year, the Blue Lagoon made household names out of two young actors, Christopher Atkins and a 14-year-old Brooke Shields, who play cousins that survived a shipwreck in the South Pacific. A year later, Brooke Shields continued her film success with the movie Endless Love. Diana Ross and Lionel Richie paired up for the title soundtrack, which Billboard reveals was the biggest duet of all time, spending 27 weeks on the chart, 9 of them in the number one position.
There's only you in my life. The only thing that's right.
My first love, you're every breath that I take. You're every step I make.
That beat as one. Our lives have just begun.
Buckets of splashing water in 1983 had nothing to do with raising awareness for ALS. It's just one of the iconic scenes from the movie Flashdance, starring Jennifer Beals. Girls everywhere were cutting the collars off their favorite sweatshirt and hanging it off one shoulder. What a Feeling, the theme song for the movie, propelled Irene Cara to instant mainstream success. Although it would be her only number one hit, the song stayed at number one for 6 weeks. The song on the soundtrack that stayed in the number one position for two consecutive weeks in September of 83 was Michael Cimbello's heart-racing hit, which was the perfect choice to underscore Beals' training montage. Here's Maniac.
Thank you.
1984 was a big year at the box office. In March, Kevin Bacon plays Ren, a city teenager who moves to a small town where rock music and dancing have been banned. Could you imagine such a place? Kenny Loggins is featured on the Footloose soundtrack with the title song, which peaked at number one for 3 weeks, only to be followed in April by the soundtrack that would win the Grammy for Best Pop Vocal and get an Oscar nomination. When Phil Collins was asked to provide a song for the Jeff Bridges flick, he revisited a song which he worked on 3 years prior for a solo project. Against All Odds, Take a Look at Me Now peaked at number one for 3 weeks. In August of 84, three oddball scientists were about to shake things up.
He slimed me.
One of the most popular catchphrases of the 1980s was, "Who you gonna call?" And the MTV video featured cameos from Chevy Chase, John Candy, and Danny DeVito. Ray Parker Jr. received the honor of singing the iconic Oscar-nominated song from the blockbuster hit Ghostbusters, a movie that was originally called Ghost Smashers. Aren't you glad they rethought that title? The song peaked at number one for 3 weeks in 1984 and can still be heard on radio every Halloween along with Michael Jackson's Thriller.
You just want some more. I think you better call
Ghostbusters.
Ow! Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
I think you better call
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
I can't hear you. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Louder.
With Ghostbusters dominating the movie scene in 1984, Columbia Pictures was preparing to release what would be another 80s pop culture classic, starring Michael J. Fox and the DeLorean.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
Back to the Future wound up being the highest grossing film of 1985, earning $210 million in the U.S. and provided Huey Lewis and the News with their first number one hit, The Power of Love, which peaked at number one on Billboard for 2 weeks in August of 85.
Teenage fans were treated to red satin Madonna jackets, Madonna albums, and Madonna posters as they waited for the singer to arrive for the premiere of her film, Desperately Seeking Susan.
In 1985, Desperately Seeking Susan, also known as the Madonna movie, was Madonna's first major screen role and the film that featured other well-known actors, Laurie Metcalf and Aidan Quinn. Although Rosanna Arquette received top billing for the movie, Madonna was regarded as the star of the film. Arquette wasn't too thrilled about that. The New York Times named Desperately Seeking Susan one of the 10 best films of 85. You won't find Into the Groove on the soundtrack, but it does appear during the movie's closing credits. By the end of the 1980s, Into the Groove was honored by Billboard magazine as the dance single of the decade. That same year, Madonna's ballad Crazy for You is featured in the movie Vision Quest, starring Matthew Modine and Linda Fiorentino. You remember the story about the high school wrestler, right? The song peaked at number one on Billboard and was Madonna's second number one single and her first song nominated for a Grammy. Being that Crazy for You and Material Girl were released at the same time and competing with each other on the charts, there were delays in releasing Into the Groove so it wouldn't compete with a fourth Madonna song on the charts, Angel. A busy year for Madonna. Crazy for You started a new musical direction for Madonna, being her first ballad and one of several collaborations with producer John Jellybean Benitez.
If you read my mind, you'll see I'm crazy for you.
Could you imagine Madonna, Olivia Newton-John, Dolly Parton, or Pat Benatar playing the leading role in the 1992 hit film The Bodyguard? They were all considered for the role. The movie was created in the 1970s, and it was supposed to star Ryan O'Neal and Diana Ross in the leading roles. It's hard to imagine any other actress after Whitney Houston's memorable performance with Kevin Costner. The critics also thought it was memorable. They were harsh, to say the least. Entertainment Weekly reviewed the film, stating, quote, "To say that Houston and Costner failed to strike sparks would be putting it mildly." Even though the movie did not produce huge box office success, the soundtrack more than made up for it. The Bodyguard soundtrack would become the best-selling movie soundtrack of all time, with 45 million copies sold. Some of the songs on the album, like Run to You and I Have Nothing, were both nominated for Oscars for Best Original Song. Dolly Parton wrote I Will Always Love You back in 1973, and Whitney Houston covers the song for the soundtrack, making it one of the best-selling songs of all time. I Will Always Love You reigned on the Hot 100 Billboard charts in the number one position for an astounding 14 weeks and becomes Houston's signature song.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
I will always love you.
It's hard to imagine Jack and Rose being played by anyone other than Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, but originally the studio wanted Tom Cruise to play the role of Jack Dawson. Kate Winslet was one of the only people who didn't wear a wetsuit while filming. After catching pneumonia, she almost quit the production, and Madonna was actually considered for the role of Rose. Another unique feature of Titanic's mega success is the fact that the movie was the first film to have two people nominated for an Oscar for portraying the same character. That would be the character of Rose. The film was nominated for a total of 14 Academy Awards, the most Oscar nods for any film. James Cameron was against incorporating a theme song for the movie, so some strategic plotting was in order. Oscar-winning composer James Horner composed the song without telling Cameron, and even went as far as asking Celine Dion to record a demo he could play for the adamant director. My Heart Will Go On was recorded in a single emotional take that left everyone in tears in the recording studio. So when Horner presented Cameron with the song, he played it for his family, who loved it, but he still wasn't convinced. A month and a half later, Cameron previewed the song in New York, leaving the audience in tears. My Heart Will Go On debuted at number one and propelled the Titanic album to a 16-week run at number one, eventually winning Best Original Song at the 1998 Oscars, and still remains one of the biggest theme songs in movie history.
Small.
Media Insider is a Blue Cult Radio production, written, produced, and hosted by Professor D. Production elements by Ilya Arbit, music research conducted by Jennifer Pena and Ariel Flores. Student interviews included Tristan Tashinsky, Jennifer Pena, Ariel Flores, and Ilya Arbit. I'm James O'Connor.